This thing on.
What's going on, good people? This is PR from RWTW, the podcast, man. Long time. Feel like I've been away forever. Really excited, as I always am with guests, but this one's a little more special given the history. Excited to have my man, the editor-in-chief. It's basically like a corporate way of saying, like, the man in charge. Of Slam Magazine, Ben Osborne. What's up, brother?
What's up, Paul?
How are you?
I'm good. Honored to be here, man.
Yes, this is long overdue. We've been trying to get this done for a couple of months now.
Yeah, but, you know, you're all around the world, and I'm a busy guy, too, so but we're making it happen.
Listen, you're going to put it on me, but every time I look up on Instagram, you're like in Vegas at the Player League, you're here, you're there, Nike, Lead, all this stuff. So how you been, man?
I've been good. Yeah, you know, still fighting along with Slam. You know, it's been a long run that is, you know, we keep plugging away. So
I love it. We'll go back to the beginning in a second, but how's Slam doing? I mean, it's no secret that the industry as a whole, right, has taken a little bit of a hit as everything shifts to digital and all that good stuff. You know, you guys may be the last man standing. Like, yeah, talk to us a little bit about Slam, man.
I think that We still sell a lot of magazines, mostly because you can't hang a phone up on your wall, you know? I mean, my job may be responsible for the words, but I couldn't tell you our writing is so amazing or you can't find that online. But, you know, if you're 10, 11, 12, 15 even, and you just, LeBron James is your hero, Kobe Bryant is your hero, John Wall is your hero, you know, you want to decorate your wall with them. That's certainly what I did. You know, my childhood room was covered with Sports Illustrated, and Slam is a place where you can get big pictures, pull-out poster, beautiful design. You know, like, we make everything look pretty cool. Big pictures of shoes. You know, Nike still does an ad every month that, frankly, is often beautiful, too. So I think the kids still get it as a subscription, or they buy it to decorate their walls. Print advertising is getting killed, so we don't have nearly the ad revenue we used to in print, but we try to, you know, replace a little of that online. And then the other place that we've just exploded is social, and we don't have a social media editor, we don't have any strategy meetings, we just put up shit that we like, and thankfully, you know, the fans are like rabid enough that they've come and, you know, they want to follow our stuff, they want to like our pictures, and I think it speaks to the popularity of basketball. How these guys are celebrities and heroes, and then the fact that people just equate us with like a pure love of the game. You know, like, we're not, I mean, I guess we're trying to sell a little something, yeah, but mostly we're just celebrating.
Yeah, but I think, you know, your tone and your voice that you guys, that Slam speaks in, whether it's in book or whether it's online or social or whatever, it's just organic, authentic, it's of the culture. It never feels like you're speaking down to people, it never feels like you're trying to sell something. You're speaking the language, right? And I think, like, the authenticity, that's not by accident. It's like, you guys live this shit. Like, you've been around the game all your life.
Exactly. Right? Like, no,
so I think that plays a huge role in it.
Absolutely. You know, we're all... I'm getting old, but, you know, our staff is a bunch of young guys that play the game, that wear the shoes, you know. And we're all... A big thing is the relationship with the players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a place for investigative reporting. I mean, I studied journalism. I have much respect for the guys doing the hard hitting stuff. Not everyone has to do that. You know, I don't need to. Slam is not where you're going to read, you know, grimy details or even criticism of their game. We're pro player, pro the sport. We want basketball is a great sport to watch. It's a great sport to play. We want kids playing it, reading about it, and we want to celebrate these guys, and they've responded to it. I mean, hashtag Slam is fam, which is kind of a thing now. The first person that wrote that was LeBron James.
Was it really?
Yes, when we did the High Haters cover.
Oh, shit.
He tweeted that himself, thanked us, and said, Slam is fam. You know, this guy, there was just an article, I mean, I don't know what it's true or not, but about him getting paid, you know, six figures for a tweet. LeBron's done like 20 tweets for us. We haven't given him a penny. I mean, God bless the guy. Like, you know, John Wall, we put him on the cover of Kicks. Like, you know, he's running his own social accounts. His avatar now is our cover. He's retweeting, like, people complimenting the story. I mean, like, that's pure. Like, that's not, we're not asking for that. We're not asking LeBron for that. We're not asking John Wall for that. They read us growing up. They know that we're celebrating them. Like, and so, you know, it's, I think it's the photos, it's the authenticity, and then the support of the players has just been amazing. You know, it's been really cool.
It's funny, you know, doing what I do on like the business side of sports. You know, I know what, you know, tweets and social and posts are valued at. I know how difficult and challenging it is to get an athlete to post stuff sometimes. So the fact that athletes are doing it, you know, willingly and on their own is a true testament to, you know, not only the work you and your team do, but also just your standing in, like, the basketball world. So I think that's the ultimate compliment when, you know, these guys don't do anything they're paid to do, nonetheless do something of their own merit. So that's kind of dope. So let's hit the pause and rewind button for a second, you know, and we'll come back to present day. But Ben Osborne, early years, high school, did you know from then that you wanted to do this? Like, what was... Let's jump into the time machine. What was Ben Osborne's senior year in high school?
I mean, I was a three sport athlete.
Okay,
you know,
talking shit, Ben. Okay,
but at Mamaroneck High School, you know, this is not the top notch stuff. I played football, I played basketball, I played baseball, but I'd already figured out. You know, I'd gone to enough camps. I was like, the most I could be is a D3. You know, maybe a D3 quarterback or a D3 catcher. I'm going to spend all my time practicing and I'm not going to make it. You know, it's not going to go any further than
that. So that early on, you did kind of a self-audit.
Even before my senior year, I decided, like, as soon as I played outside of Little Westchester County, I was like, I'm not fast enough. I'm not strong enough. Maybe if I practice 80 hours a day, but like I'm not into it enough. Like, sports are going to end in high school for me. The one subject I was good at was English. I loved reading Sports Illustrated. I loved reading the newspaper every day. I was like, I'm going to write about these guys, you know. So by the time I was a senior, I mean, I was giving my all in sports, but I knew that was going to be it. And I was like, I'm going to go to college. I'm a major in journalism and I'm going to work at a magazine or a newspaper and cover sports for a living. Like, I had decided that by probably 15.
Wow. And that's funny because this is a day and age where people exhaust the dream, you know, and you're like, shit, like, I don't want to tell Jimmy, you know, he's 5'6", 109 pounds, that football thing probably isn't going to work out for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the fact that you were on it that early and kind of found your passion, you know, it totally makes sense. So you went to journalism school, you said earlier.
I went to George Washington University and majored in journalism.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what was your first big break? I'm sure you worked for the school paper.
Yeah,
what
I worked
was your
for
first
the,
big break?
I worked for the school paper. At one point, GW was recruiting Richie Parker.
LIU?
Yeah. And he was accused of sodomy.
Incident in a girl. Yep.
And a lot of schools backed off.
Do you remember Richie in high school?
Yeah.
Richie was a monster.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, he was getting Big East looks.
Georgetown.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they all dropped off, and then GW stayed in a little longer because, frankly, for our program, he would have been, you know, the biggest recruit ever. So I knew a guy at the Daily News, and he asked me to, you know, piece together a story. So I had a byline in the Daily News when I was a sophomore, so that was a good look.
Wow. Yeah.
And then the editor-in-chief of our school paper went on to become the special assistant to George Solomon, who was the editor, sports editor at the Washington Post for about 20 years, kind of a legend in newspaper sports. And she brought me on when I was still in college as a news aide. Like, so I worked at the Washington Post Friday and Saturday nights of my senior year of college, which should show you how dedicated I was. I mean, I got my party in during the week, but like my weekends were basically spent answering phones. And this was the people that worked there then were Michael Wilbon, Tony Kornheiser.
Oh, shit.
Rachel Nichols was Rachel Alexander at the time. You know, Bucher came through there. Jay Adonde. Like, this was like the breeding ground of, not that I knew they'd become this, but these are the, I was taking calls for these guys and, you know, running errands. And I mean, it was low level work, but it was the Washington Post and it was awesome. And that was like my senior year of high school. And then senior year of college. And then I was moving back to New York and I just hit up mad outlet, you know, newspapers, magazines. And Slam was one of the first that responded, and they'd had a summer intern that just bailed on them and quit. And they needed someone to come in for like 3 days in August of 1997. And that's all they promised me. They were like, we'll give you $5 an hour. Come in the next 3 days. The editor-in-chief at the time, Tony Gervino, had these like all these interviews he'd done for Reebok. And the bane of any journalist's existence is transcribing. So you're always trying to get a low-level person to listen to the tapes and
grunt work.
Grunt work.
Yeah.
So I did it for 3 days. And they were like, why don't you come back Monday? And, you know.
You haven't left since.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of part-time era, but I've been in every issue of Slam since the fall of 97 in some fashion, and then, you know, running the show since January of 2007.
Yeah, and we know each other for years. I didn't know that was your first gig, your first real gig out of school.
My first real gig out of school was at Slam.
You know what? Like, it's dope, man. Like, we always talk, you know, Justin, who you know, Justin Leonard and I, we always talk about just, you know, how we think, not to be preachy, and I guess we're getting old, but how this generation is one of like, hey, I did this, so I deserve that. And I think what's been lost is, you know, I'll say our generation, we're around the same age where it's, you just bust your ass and there's no promises. They told you 3 days, you know, and you could have been like, yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for another opportunity, a part-time or long-term or whatever the situation may be. You went there and you busted your ass and no promises and, you know, look how it's paid off you. And even like, you know, you weren't paid any real money or anything like that. And I just think, you know, that's a testament to just do the work, man. If you do the work, even if you don't see the end game, opportunities will present themselves. So I think that's super dope. Do you feel that? Do you feel that like with today's generation somewhat that that work ethic may or may not be there? Or
I
know you have young people that work for you. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that in a general sense, you might be right. I mean, Slam has been blessed or taught or whatever. Like, if you don't, you don't have to be like me as far as, you know, how I view things, but that mentality of get a little chance and work your ass off. We have like a 7-person staff. Like, if you don't, if you're not like that, you'll never make it there. It's everyone is working really hard, having a really good time, not getting, you know, huge financial rewards, but, you know, just taking pride in what we do. So if someone comes in and doesn't have that, you know, grinding mentality, they'll never last. So I don't know if, you know, it's more common these days, maybe a little bit, but you won't be with Slam long enough for me to find out.
Well, it's one of those beautiful things. I think you set a culture on your team where everyone's performing at such a high level and everyone's busting their ass and everyone's doing more than they're probably even paid to do.
Yep.
So it makes it easy to weed out the people that aren't.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like it totally is. Like, so walk us through, you get to Slam, they tell you come back Monday and you haven't left since. Yeah. What was like your progression or your growth within Slam? Like, how'd that work? What were kind of some of the major milestones for you?
I mean, I was like, Tony Gervino, who's now the editor-in-chief of Billboard, he was the guy that hired me. He left maybe after 2 years, and Russ Bankston became editor-in-chief, and so I slid under Russ.
Who has one of the most impressive beards in the game.
Yeah,
man.
The most impressive beards, the most impressive sneaker collection, one of the most gifted writers.
Russ is dope.
You know, I think he'd maybe admit, maybe not the greatest leader. So, you know, but I mean, insanely talented, super sharp guy. So I was working for him and, I frankly felt like he'd be there for a long time. And I still thought maybe I wanted to be a writer, not just an editor. So I took a step back. I made myself a full-time freelancer. I was telling you before we went on, I spent some time in Puerto Rico.
Yep.
I wrote a book about the Brooklyn Cyclones. I freelanced for Double X, you know, a lot of hip hop, baseball, basketball, did some New York Times, like neighborhood
and
stuff.
And I think it's important. What did you do in Puerto Rico that we talked about?
Well, besides freelance writing, I was a valet car parker.
And I say that to show, listen, man, even though you have a destination in mind and you have a goal for all you young people kind of out there listening.
Yeah, sometimes there's hurdles and sometimes you got to pay the bills and do the other shit on the side.
There's no straight line of success,
yeah,
man. You know,
totally.
You got to pay the bills and kind of stay afloat so you can make it pop. So sorry to interrupt, but I think that's an important
one. No, it's true. So I was on this like full-time path and I took a step back and really spent about 5 years writing. And in that time, Russ left. a guy named Ryan Jones took over, and I still did the same thing. I was like a consultant. I was writing. I was coming in the office like once a week. I helped Harris Publications launch King Magazine with a guy named Daytuan Thomas.
Yes.
So I was just kind of doing a little bit of everything, but not going in one place every day. And then Ryan Jones left after like 14 months, another super talented guy. But, you know, maybe he was sick in New York. He moved out to Pennsylvania. He now runs the alumni magazine at Penn State. And kind of out of the blue, after being a pretty stable place, it's like the end of 2006, and there was not an obvious person coming in the office every day to be editor-in-chief. Dennis Page, who had founded it and was and still the publisher, thought I was the guy for it. So at that point,
How old were you in 06?
In 06, I was 32.
Still young. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So at that point, they offered me the job. And, you know, one way I was extremely lucky is that, I mean, I was making good money as a writer from, like, let's say 2000 to 2005. People were paying $1, $1.25 a word. Like, you could be a freelance writer and make a living. And not that I saw what happened come, but these days, you know, shit is online. People, yeah. Rates are like a quarter of what they were. So I don't know.
And everyone's a writer.
Exactly.
Air quotes for those of you.
I don't know what would have happened to me if I didn't get that slam offer. I mean, I would have kept grinding, but I think it's gotten harder to just write. So in any event, whatever, they offered it. I took it. In a way, it was a dream job that I had just taken a little detour off of. And yeah, I mean, I think my first real day, Paul, did you go to the Air Max party at like Kanye performed and Nas?
Yes, of course. That was your first place? That was like, it's a Midtown, whatever. It's a beautiful place.
Yes. Spike was there.
Yes.
So I was starting on a Monday. It was maybe the first Monday in December. And I remember Brian Facchini calling me from Nike.
The Facchini.
And being,
man,
like,
that's a great dude.
Right, and there, being like, yo, like, we wanted to have you at, you know, I think he knew I was going to be editor-in-chief or whatever. He's like, we're having this event. You know, do you want to...
Air Force.
Yeah, Air Force. Yeah, and he's like, do you need a room at the London Hotel? And I'm like, dude, I only live in Jersey. Like, I'm not going to be able to... Or maybe I was still in Brooklyn then. I was like, I'm not going to be able to... My boss is not going to expense that. And he's like, no. We've got the hotel for you. And what an omen, you know. So that was a Sunday night, I sleep in the London Hotel in Midtown on Nike's dime, and the next morning was a Monday, and that was like my first day in charge. And first issue was LeBron James on the cover, and this kind of ties everything together that we were talking about earlier. We had this vision of, let's make him the NBA logo.
I remember that.
And,
you know, I think a lot of people didn't. I think that went over a lot of people's heads.
I know.
It's fucking genius. And He gave us
like 2 hours. Lang Whitaker, another superstar that was at Slam and is now at the NBA. It was kind of his idea. He was the writer. Atiba Jefferson, one of the dopest photographers in the game, shot it. And LeBron, you know, I think it was at the Q, or maybe it was the practice facility, I wasn't there, just kept dribbling like Jerry West, you know, really posing, trying to nail that NBA logo.
What was that shoot like? How long? Because
it was hard as hell. Like, it was, I really think he gave us, you know, multiple hours. Like, that was the longest shoot we ever did with him.
And here's my thing. Listen, and you guys that follow the show are, I won't say fans, but just friends of the program. Y'all know my relationship with LeBron. LJ is my brother. Good, bad, or indifferent. Win, lose, or draw. LJ doesn't give people 2 hours.
No.
He's going to tell you, what's the shot? I'm going to get it. Thank you. Holla. Yeah. And the fact that he gave you 2 hours to kind of make that happen, and again, bringing it full circle, it's a testament to the relationship you guys have with athletes. But I remember that cover. I'm being like, oh, shit, this is genius. Like, the new logo. So I get it. Like,
and yeah, and I think we said, like, maybe it was just the spine line, which is the thing at the side, was like, hey, Dave, how do you like your new logo? Holler. And the main line was just, Bron is the one. And it was just saying, like, you know, because there was still you still had your Kobe loyalists, and you know, Kobe's amazing,
and Kobe's at the top of his game.
Yes,
at that point, right? Yeah.
But like, we were just looking to the future. You know, he had no titles yet. He hadn't been to the finals yet. But we're like, this is coming. Like, if you're still sleeping on it, like, this is the dude. And that was my first issue in charge, and it remains my favorite one to this day. With that cover, what it meant to me doing it. We had an old school, like, crazy interview with Charles Barkley, and it was just great. And that hit, you know, in January of 07, and I've just been trying to keep it fresh ever since.
And let me ask you, when did you guys know, and don't let me put words in your mouth, so if you're like, hey, I wasn't thinking that, but when did you guys, I'll say you, when did you personally push all your chips on the table and say, this might be the guy, talking about LeBron? How early on?
I mean, really early. Like, you know, we were the first people to do a big feature on him, which was when he was a sophomore. And
that's when his hair was all crazy. Yeah, wrinkled ass jersey.
Yes.
Yo, LJ, don't be wearing wrinkled ass jerseys, brother. You know I love you, but come on, man.
And you know, I think Dennis kicks himself to this day that we didn't put him on the cover then, because then SI did theirs like 6 months later. Ooh. And they deserve the credit. They did it. So now people think that they really broke him, which they did. They're bigger than us. They had him on the cover. But we had done like a 6-page story on the dude.
It was everything but the cover.
Everything but the cover. We just, but after that, we did, you know, we did him and Sebastian. We did him in the NBA All-Star jersey. I saw him play at the primetime shootout against Carmelo in that famous game in Trenton.
And so let me ask, listen, and this is me. You guys know, for me, like, I'm in this business. I've done this forever, but, like, I'm kind of, like, geeking out right now. Like, I'm a true fan of Slam. I grew up on it, you know. Each dunk issue, like, I'm the kid putting that stuff up on my wall, all that stuff. Like, what was that Bassey LeBron cover like? Talk to me about that. Like, you were at Slam, you weren't in the role you're in now.
Yeah.
But like, what? Talk to me, like, because that shit at the time was
pretty hot.
Unheard of. Like, that wasn't happening back then. Like, talk to me about that, please.
Well, you know, I don't know where you were exactly then, but that's when, you know, Adidas was, you know, all in on LeBron James, and they had a great relationship with us. And you know, I think that we were floating to, you know, whoever was kind of running the thing, like, I think we're ready to do a LeBron cover, and what if we put him with Bassey? And they were like,
now let me ask this, who, and it's gonna sound crazy today, but just give me the benefit of the doubt, who was the biggest, like they were kind of on equal, right? Like, Bassey and LeBron were kind of,
yeah,
and Bassey was
1 year older,
right?
So
Bassey was that dude.
He had another year of exposure. Right. He had the New York hype.
Yep.
He had the fit.
He had Lincoln.
He had the Marbury's. You know, he had Jamel Thomas. Like, his LeBron, if you really knew the game, was obviously the bigger prospect. But
absolutely,
Sebastian was the super. I mean, there was a documentary being made about him. There was a book about him. He got a Sports Illustrated cover. So I think we had the idea, but we didn't know exactly how to execute it. And Adidas, who outfitted Lincoln, outfitted St. Vincent, St. Mary's, was prepared to do everything, I guess, except pay a fair price. But everything other than that, to get LeBron in the fold, was like, we will fly him out. We will put, you know, we'll get him to play in IS-8. And in that time period, we'll get you half an hour. You guys do your shoot. So, you know, it was pretty awesome. It was, you know, celebrities as a high school level. And one thing that I'd like to point out to people that I'm sure you kind of realize, like, there, that shit was, if not once in a lifetime, it's already been more than once in a decade. The amount of, like, ideas that came after that, high school magazines, high school networks, games, no one has cared about anyone the way they cared about LeBron. We've done Andrew Wiggins, we've done Jabari Parker, John Wall, Lance Stevenson, like, the numbers don't match up. LeBron was that dude. And Bassey was to some degree, but LeBron sold magazines. LeBron drove ratings.
Even, like, as a high schooler.
Even as a high schooler.
So crazy.
And anyone that's come after is back to, like, what a high school player was like before LeBron, which is a nice player. You get excited about him, but you don't buy a magazine because they're on the cover.
Let me ask you that, man. Like, why do you think – this is – you know, people ask me this all the time, and my answer may be different every time, and, you know – why do you think that is, man? Like,
I mean, the way...
I mean, obviously he's a stud. And obviously he's a once-in-a-lifetime player. But why do you think...
I mean, it's a little of everything. I mean, he's photogenic. He's, you know, despite being inhumanely built, his aura is like, you know, he's still like a regular dude. He wore the jerseys. He listened to the music. He never acted like bigger than the culture or bigger than, like, he's still that guy, you know, and he always had like the current fashion. And then the way that he played, even, I mean, he passed to his teammates. He was a great teammate. Like, there's something about him. Again, everyone is different. If Mike's your favorite guy, of course, Mike was a killer. Kobe's this insane worker, you know. But there's just something about LeBron that I think is more relatable. And I think that that just grabbed people in. You know, the hype got behind him, and then he actually lived up to it. So there was never like that letdown.
Rare thing,
you know, let's say you watched him once because he was on ESPN. He fucking delivered. You know what I'm saying? He had a triple double. He scored 40 points against Carmelo. So then you're like, I'm going to do it next time. Like, there was no duds.
And he was from a place called Akron, Ohio, that no one had heard of before.
So it's like this fairy tale, and you know, it's really like, there's no compare. He's really an unprecedented guy, and I'm so thankful that we were, you know, in on him. And the guy that was editor before me, Ryan Jones, I mean, he wrote a book about LeBron that did great, and, you know, he was tight with, I mean, LeBron is still cool with him, and Maverick, and also, as you've learned, you know, he's got all his original guys around him. You know, Romeo is still around, Frankie Warren, like, you know, these were his people then, and, you know, whether that's, it doesn't have to be marketed, you just can pick up on that.
Listen, I'll say this, man, and you know, yes, I'm a little jaded in that's, you know, my relationship with him is a strong relationship, and I truly consider him a brother, like, not in the generic sense, like, that's my brother. Some of the things I've been most impressed with about LeBron is off-court stuff you wouldn't see, and I've told this story before. I don't know if I've ever told it on this forum, but, you know, it was a time I was in Cleveland for a meeting with the Cavs, and I wake up to a text message, and it's him, and he's like, yo, come over for dinner. I know you're by yourself. Like, and it's like, this is LeBron James, the best player on the planet. He's got plenty of money, plenty of fame, plenty of business, plenty of stuff going on. The fact that the thought even crossed his mind to say, hey, I know my dude PR's in town. I know he's staying in a hotel. Come over for dinner and get a home-cooked meal. That's just a testament to the dude he is. You know, and that's him all the time. That's him. We go to Vegas for a skills academy. He has the Fab Five, his high school teammates. Listen, man, he's going to come in for this. LeBron's not a young dude anymore. You know, like, he's 30. Like, so he's far removed from high school, and he still has his high school dudes around him. You know, they came out to Vegas, and we had dinner together and spent some time together. So, you know,
the back of that, when Ray Allen hit the crazy game-winning shot, it's like all his boys are in the third row.
You know, and like I always say, it's funny, I was having this conversation the other day, and I was telling people, I was like, if you know, there's always going to be haters, and no one understands that better than LJ, actually. He's like, listen, it comes with the process. You know, he's such a good dude and understands big picture. You know, if you hate on him, his game is unquestionable. You can't hate on his game. You can't hate on him being a hybrid of, like, Magic, Michael, and Scotty. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the reality of the thing. You know, the dude's never been in any trouble. You know, you've never heard of a DUI. You've never heard of any, you know, off-court issues of anything that was questionable about his character. He's a great dude. And, you know, listen, if you're going to be a rabid fan and you're a Celtic fan, I don't expect you to like him or anything like that. But if you're going to judge it strictly on game, strictly on how he treats his family and people, like, the dude's a class act. And I don't say that, all biases aside, the dude's a class act, you know? Like, and it's funny, and bringing it full circle, like I said, he's a busy guy, and you know, he's a business mogul, and he's, you know, the best player on the planet, and all this stuff. And what he doesn't have a lot of, and that's the case for most of us these days, is time. And anytime Slam is mentioned, he's like, all right, let's figure it out.
Exactly.
Let's figure it out. Like, hey, am I only be half an hour? I got you. What do they need? They need an hour? Can they work for 45 minutes? You know, but he always has had time for you guys. Like, so.
Which I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful for that. You know, like, it's an amazing thing. So
I'm going to put you on the spot now. Best interview. Best interview or best subject. Let's put LeBron aside. In your tenure at Slam, Give me a story.
Best interview.
Take your time, because you obviously have a lot of history and years and subjects.
Or even favorite. Let's not say best. Favorite, because it's a different conversation than best and favorite.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, Rip Hamilton probably for me.
Why Rip? Talk to me.
Well, because, I mean, I'm only going to go on stories that I've done, which are less than I used to do.
Yes, personal to you.
But, I mean, Rip was like, I got an invite to come out to, you know, Rip Day in Coatesville and at Ash Park.
Yes.
And at that point, you know, I think John Allen was like maybe a senior at Coatesville High, you know, on the verge of breaking Rip's records, and like, they just let me chill with them all day. We went out to eat, and I got great stuff. Like, it was great scenery for a story to see a guy throw a day-long celebration in this little neighborhood park, and he was just so proud of Coatesville, and this is the restaurant where I eat, and this is the sneaker store where I came up, and this is the park where I played.
Was he a god in Coatesville? Like, is he the guy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's a working class, you know, it's a good hour from Philly. It's not really a suburb. It's its own little Rust Belt little city with a nice basketball heritage. And he had won state championships, but came back, you know, when his, you know, Rip Sr. lived there. And, you know, and from that, like, stayed in touch with the dude and would see him on the road and... So I love that shit. I love to get to meet the guys. And then from that, like, befriended John Allen, and me and Tootie are good friends to this day. And, you know, I kind of met, Jim Ice from John Allen.
Ice, and what it, up? You know, Ice? So it, Ice you know, is my guy.
Of
Ice
course,
is a
Ice,
dude.
Ice is the best. Ice and it's like, dude. You know, you don't think of a one little interview experience, like, letting you meet other people. And I always remember that Rip one. I had some memorable, sticking in the Philly area, some memorable times with DeJuan Wagner before he blew up.
Wani was a monster in high school, man.
I mean, my personal favorite player as a child or, young man.
Hold that. I know where you're going. We're going to talk about that. Okay. We're going to talk about him. So don't go there for a second.
I'm just trying to think of the guys. I mean, Chris Mullin, I got to do when he was with the Pacers, hang out with him at St. John's. Anytime I get to spend time with a guy away from the court, in some other atmosphere, it's going to be pretty cool. The current issue with Kicks is with John Wall. And, we basically had about 8 hours with him in Washington, D.C. as he shot for us and also for Adidas. And we went to the Lincoln Memorial with him. We went to a hotel with him. We were at a photo studio and just got to kick it a little. You know, I'll take the 30 minutes I can get from an NBA superstar with no problem, but I'm not going to really remember much about that after the fact. But if we can get time with a guy away from the court, it's going to be pretty, pretty cool.
So talk to me about, and H. White, for those of you who don't know, Howard White from Brand Jordan will probably kill me for this. I always, you know what, listen, the wins are easy to discuss, right? Everyone talks about wins and everyone talks about, you know, championships and all that. And I know our producer's looking at the time of this show and he's like, okay, you're running along, but yes. I don't care. I'm a fan right now, man. I'm a fan. We're talking Slam, the Bible, like, we good on this.
There's no ceiling on this.
As he looks at me like, wrap shit up. But neither here nor there. I remember asking H. White, like, listen, you've signed, shit, MJ, right? It doesn't get any better than that, right? G.O.D., as far as I'm concerned. What's your miss? Right, I remember asking him, and I'll keep that one private because he told me in confidence what he felt his miss was. Anything you regret? Anyone you regret not putting on a cover, not kind of getting on earlier or anything like that? Like, is there a miss for you personally in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are. I think if you ask the current readers, it's it's the fact that James Harden has not had his own cover yet. I think is considered a miss. If you go back, Reggie Miller blocks us on Twitter. You know, and I think that that's like to be hated by a guy of that stature is kind of silly. You know, a lot of the older NBA players didn't really get slam at first. The Patrick Ewings, the Karl Malones, John Stockton's, you know, but you can't really go back in time like that. But I think we used to maybe piss off some of the older guys. So I regret that a little bit.
Got it, Trax.
No problem.
I have my son Jordan in the office, and it's like I have him. I have all sorts of going on. You
had
something?
No.
You good? So let me ask you current issue. Current issue, kicks. What's on? Is it kicks or is it slam on stands right now?
Well, both. We're allowed to keep both out there. The current issue of slam is Stephen Curry celebrating championship, and then newer than that is our Kicks magazine, which comes out every August. Sneaker focus. That's got John Wall.
Let me see the issue. We have an issue here. Yeah. It's got John.
And I don't think I'm giving anything crazy away. Our next issue cover subject is someone we've spent half this podcast talking about, and that one will be out in about 3 weeks. So nice, you know, a nice back-to-back-to-back of, you know, big names and new shoes and...
Ben, let me ask you this. I mean, and we take it for granted because, you know, there's a lot of magazines doing it now, whatever, but Kicks, like, that wasn't something magazines
I'll tell you doing. I'll tell you a miss, Paul, is that we basically almost invented the thought of, like, beauty shots of sneakers and covering them and doing a magazine, and our web presence of sneakers is terrible. Like, there's 20 websites that have made a killing covering shoes. So we, that as a full brand, we, it's like we saw it, but we didn't see it through, and we
act on it.
And, right. And you know, the other thing, like we're still, yeah, your boy.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm looking at this man to cut you off. I'm literally, so you guys obviously can't see us, but I'm flipping through the new, you know, looks dope. I haven't read it, but it looks dope. You know, Kicks issue, John Wall and his amazing talents are on it and his new shoe, but I'm literally just thumbing through it. And I flipped to page 34 and 35, and who's on it? None other than Mr. Victor. Yo, Vic, I can't get away from you, man. Listen, I didn't pay my cable bill the other day on time, Time Warner. I get a call, I pick up, and it's your voice telling me to pay my bill. I'm not paying that bill, B. Send me $35 to pay that bill. I refuse to pay that bill now that you call me talking about don't forget to pay your bill. Neither here nor there. Can you talk to me about Vic being an issue?
Like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we try to talk to, you know, celebs, you know, non-basketball players that are sneakerheads. And is there a bigger one than Victor Cruz? And Foot Locker is a sponsor of Kicks Magazine.
Shout out to Jed Burger,
yes,
my dude.
Yes, absolutely.
Jed's a good guy.
So Foot Locker was basically invited us to come to the the video shoot with Victor and Odell. And one of our old senior editors, who's now running shit at Stance Socks, but still writes for us, a guy named Svi Tversky.
Yes.
He's out in L.A. Svi went to the shoot. He loved it. I mean, he's an Eagle fan, but he was like, Vic was cool as shit. I mean, I've met Vic a bunch of times. I mean, another dude that is just down to earth.
Good brother.
You know, has his original crew with him and gave a really nice interview. And, you know, he's not allowed to... I mean, the mystery surrounding this shoe is... getting a little silly, but, you know, it didn't even have to be about that because regardless of if Vic has a Nike shoe or not or when it comes out, this dude is into sneakers. He's down for the culture. He's got the, you know, Cruise Day Tuesday, so it was a natural fit. And in the history of Kicks, I mean, we've talked to rappers, football players, baseball players. You know, it's about taking that basketball shoe into a bigger audience. And I think, you know, we definitely helped... We definitely helped push that out there. And then smarter people than us were like, this shouldn't be a once-a-year magazine. This should be a 24/7 industry, which sneaker news has become. And, you know, it remains a struggle for us to do that online every day the way we probably should. But in print, we invented it. We're still here. It's the thickest issue we put out every year. I think it's if you're a shoe company, you need to add in Kicks. You need to edit in Kicks, and it's fun as heck to work on. And we're actually talking about maybe doing it, you know, more than once a year because it's such a logical such a logical tie-in.
Listen, I'll say this, and I'm a homer a little bit, because like I said, I'm a fan. I grew up on Slam. Like, when people say, you know, the Bible of basketball, like, I'm that kid. Like, I grew up. I remember LJ, Larry Johnson being on the cover. I'm that guy, and I know I'm dating myself. You know, like, if it was in Slam, like, that shit was gospel to me. You know,
that's what J. Cole said.
Not as it should, you know. Like, I think, you know, and Eric's looking at his watch, our producer's looking at his watch and looking at the phone. And Eric, we're gonna wrap up in a second, man. Like, you're over. Like, I know it's 39 minutes and 55 seconds. I'm with you.
I'm actually coordinating other work.
Let me ask you this, man. As we're beginning to wrap up, what are you excited about, man? Like, you know, you have your ear to the streets and you have your eye on kind of what's next and kind of what's current. What are you excited about, whether it's the next issue, whether it's just, you know, where basketball as a whole, where the sneaker world, what do you wake up and what is Ben Osborne excited about?
I'm excited about the sport, honestly, and like the global, you know, if you had to be involved with any sport going forward, like basketball is the one. I mean, I'm an old school baseball fan, but that's boring and a lot of countries don't care about it. American football, I love, but you got guys getting knocked out and dying at age 40. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Soccer's cool, but it's very... Basketball has U.S. pop culture. Everyone can play. It's good for kids to play. It teaches teamwork. It keeps them in shape. There's fashion element. Like, the sport is just dope. This is where it's all heading. It's going to be the biggest sport in the world if it's not already. The stars are going to keep getting bigger. I think Slam will be around for a long time, and if anything happens, I know I'll go somewhere else, and I will get to live in this space. I love being in the gym. I love writing about it. I love learning the stories of players and coaches. I got to interview Mike Krzyzewski for 30 minutes last month. I mean, one-on-one, it was super, super intense, and I'm not even a Duke fan, but what an honor. And another guy that talked about how special
Coach K transcends, like,
totally.
You can hate Duke and still fuck with Coach K.
Totally, right? And you know, to get the chance to do that, you know, so I'm excited about where this game is headed. There's young kids that are great. I love talking to the next. I love talking to 15-year-olds. I love talking to 60-year-olds that were Hall of Famers. You know, like, there's just a continuation that we celebrate, and that's, like, my personal, you know, views. So I'm just excited about the game, and it's, like, I love sneakers. I love different parts of it, but it all stems from, like, the health of the sport. So that's really, you know, I'm all in on basketball's future, you know, and I guess maybe a labor stoppage would be a slight bump, but I hope that everyone's smart enough to get past that, and that will be short-lived. I mean, if you want to talk about from 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, basketball is the shit now, and it's going to stay that way, and, you know, that's really my enthusiasm for that is hopefully as real as it sounds, because that's what it is.
I love
it. And I'm blessed to be part of it.
I love it, man. And like we said earlier, you know, I think there's a reason why Slam has been able to withstand kind of the crush of, you know, print, and has been able to survive where others have, you know, perished. Not to be too dramatic, but you guys have been of the culture, right? And Slam has not even honestly, you know, chronicled basketball culture. You guys have been a part of the culture, which is why NBA athletes fuck with y'all the way they do, which is why NBA athletes, and I can attest to this, are like, you know what, my schedule's packed, let's find 30 minutes for Slam. And, you know, I think, I hope you guys are able to continue to produce the product that you guys do, because it's important. You know, like I said, you guys were on my wall. Slam was on my wall. You know, Slam, I look forward to that every month. I know you guys hear these stories, but it's like, If it was in Slam, it was dope. Like, you know, you guys were like a validation stamp. So I hope you're able to do that in this tough climate. And, you know, how do people... So two more things before we wrap. One, how do people, you know, follow you? What are your personal handles? Slam, give them website, give them Twitter, give them Instagram, all that stuff. How do they stay connected to the game?
Yeah, I mean, definitely our social channels, I think, are great. I think they're fun. You get news, you get a little attitude, you get shoes. So at Slam Online on Twitter and Instagram. It's Slam Magazine on Facebook, where we're like 2.3 million or something. I'm not really
talk your shit, Ben.
I'm not
talk
even really shit. A Facebook. I don't even have a Facebook account, but thank God Slam does. Personally, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. It's a little rehashing of Slam, but you know, some personal stuff also. That's BOsborne17, which is an homage to my baseball and football number. You know, anyone old school Mamaroneck knows why I would go 17. So you can follow me too, but most of all, follow Slam, like us. I really think you're going to enjoy it. It's really the same mindset that you get from the magazine delivered 24/7 now. You can subscribe on our website at slamonline.com. You know, if you feel like you're too old and you don't want to decorate your room with Slam, read it online, but get it for your kids. You know, I think that another thing we've like helped, I just heard an anecdote about Clay Thompson telling someone how he kind of learned to read with Slam. Like, dude, kids that subscribe to Slam, I'm positive, is often the only magazine that's coming to their house. I mean, I go to schools all the time.
Great
like,
point.
This is not fine literature by any means, but if you're in that 9 to 13 range and bored as shit with reading, you know what I'm saying, and you'd rather be playing video games, at least we're something you're interested in. Like, I don't think I'm saying too much when I say that we have helped kids become better readers. Like, I believe that wholeheartedly.
You bring up a great point. Like, I have a 10-year-old son, and if you tell him he has to read something, he's good on all of that. But if it's a Captain Underpants, he'll read that shit 5 times over. Every book that comes out, he'll know the next one. So the fact that, you know, obviously basketball is the lead sport in North America, the fact that you guys are kind of at the forefront, not even kind of, you guys are at the forefront of that, like, it's not a far, you know,
yeah, and stretch. I got a little off topic, but basically I'm assuming the listeners to this are a little older. Maybe they're like, I see, I'll follow Slam, but I'm not buying that magazine. I don't need it anymore. Get it for your kid. Get it for your nephew. Like, if they love hoops, it's kind of a dope present, in my opinion.
Agree.
You know?
Agree. Let me ask you this. So, the last one, and I can't leave without asking you about this, and I know a little bit of the history and the background of it, but if I asked our listeners to guess who your favorite all-time NBA player is...
Favorite athlete.
Favorite athlete is... I'm willing to bet everything. The little bit of money I have in the bank, my sneaker collection, anything I have of value, I'm willing to put it on the line that not one person would guess who that is. Can you please honor us and bless us with who your favorite... all-time athlete, not basketball player, athlete is, and why?
Like, why I have email addresses with Mark Jack's fan in them? I mean, look, you grow up in suburban New York. You love hoops. You know, college hoops was big. Unless you're just a jerk, you're gonna like St. John's. So here's the point guard at St. John's. He's from New York, and. I was super into hot dogs. Like, I love dudes that dance and, you know, crazy shit.
The show.
He is slow. He can't jump. He can't shoot. And he wants to pass. It was basically how I was as a player in 8th grade. So first off, I had people like saying like, yo, you're like the Jackson variation. You're like the, you know.
And that's all you needed to hear.
Exactly. It's like I already liked him. Then I'm getting compared to him. Then he gets drafted by the hometown team. I wasn't like ride or die Knicks, but I was, and he gets here. He's the lowest picked player ever to be Rookie of the Year. I mean.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
So the overachievement, he was the 4th ranked point guard in New York City as a senior. There was Pearl Washington, Kenny Smith, and Kenny Hutchinson, who went to Arkansas.
Wow.
Mark was never...
Yo, Ben's talking his shit right now.
But it was
Ben's
never locked in. It was never handed to him. This guy worked and worked, and he did it with, like, savvy and guile, and still showed off, too. It was like, he should have been so grateful, and instead he's doing the shimmy, he's breaking out the broom,
helicopter,
the airplane, the around the back. I mean, some of the illest passes of all time,
all
around
facts.
The back, through the legs, like just crazy. And you know, his brother was Escalade, RIP Escalade.
Yes.
You know, just lived it. He Mark did the street ball, Mark did high school, he did college. He did the NBA. He was a great leader. He knew the game. I mean, he really did it with his brain. So just everything. And then I get to slam the first feature I'm allowed to do. I mean, not a coincidence. They knew I loved the guy. It was a Mark Jackson feature. I got to fly out to Indianapolis. He was great. I kept it professional that day. But when I had the issue, they came to play the Knicks. I brought him the issue. And I was like, I got to tell you, you're my favorite player of all time.
Oh, wow.
And he was.
Is that the first time you meet him?
I met him when I interviewed him, but I didn't let on to anything.
Got you.
I stayed professional.
Got you.
But the next time I saw him,
you're like, fan.
Oh, before that, I'd already had his autograph like 7 times. I'd waited games. I saw him play in a pro-am up at City College.
Love
like,
it.
Yeah. But I didn't
pro
admit
City.
When he met me. When he met me the first time for real at Slam, I didn't tell him any of that. Then I was just a writer. He didn't. But then after that, I was like, dude, I've already met you a bunch of times. Like, and he was so cool about it. And it's like, you know, because it's such a rare thing, like we can kind of play off of it. No one's going to say I'm not professional. I am all the time. With Mark Jackson, I could fan out.
That's your
and
one.
And no one's going to tell him, why are you like playing along with this fan? He doesn't have that many dudes that there. So we add each other on Twitter. We follow each other. There's likes. There's little jokes.
And the crazy shit is, not to interrupt, the crazy shit is he's a great dude.
Of course.
He's a great dude.
No, he's cool as hell. And, you know, I was out in L.A. over 4th of July weekend, and I was going to go see my man Svi at Stan Sox. I invited Mark. He came down with 3 of his kids. We spent the day together. That was like the most time I've ever spent with him. You know, it had kind of just been a watch on TV and text once in a while. I mean, I text him when he got the Warriors job. I text him when he lost the Warriors job. Like, and he responds to me. And it's, you know, I would say basically a friendship now. I got to be part of his 50th anniversary. Did you watch that YouTube
very,
thing?
Very, very dope. I have not.
Oh,
you need to watch that?
Oh, it's amazing.
Send
it's
me
like
a link,
you're the
you
I got
out on me. Send
it's
me
like
a link.
36 minutes of like pop our age pop culture in your face. Like the
listen,
people
I'm
that
in.
He gets birthday shout outs. I'm totally sending it to
I'm
you.
I'm in. Send it to me.
So,
please.
Yeah, it's like a little history, and then you meet a guy and he actually lives up or exceeds what you might think of him, and you know, I just have fun with it, really.
I love it, man. Listen, Ben, man, like I said, I'm very, very, very rarely do I fan out. Very rarely do I kind of like, you know, does it feel bigger than whatever the topic is. For me, Slam's one of those. Like I said, I'm that kid. I grew up on Slam. I remember the first issue of Slam. I remember knowing when it would be in my mailbox. I remember, you know, checking for, what do you guys call, like, the bottom, like, almost like the ticker? What's the
noise.
Bottom? I remember noise and, like, all that. Like, I'd read noise first and all that. Like, listen, I, you know, by no stretch am I an NBA player or a pro athlete or any of that stuff.
Oh, but you're a big part of this whole world.
Thank you. I look forward to all that stuff. And still, that hasn't changed. I think, you know, the fact that you guys have been able to survive in this landscape, you know, is a testament to you guys. And you know, you guys deserve all the kudos and all the accolades you guys get. Thank you. I know you're a busy dude. I know you're all over the world. I know you're flying on private jets and all this shit, Ben. I know you're that guy. You know, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for being a guest. And listen, man, we need to have you. Like, this is your first. Should never be your last visit over to RWTW the podcast. And you have an open invite, man. Whenever you have anything that's important going on, please come by.
Awesome, I appreciate it. Keep up the. You know, I know this thing's growing, and I'm absolutely honored to be part of it as it's, you know, on the upswing. It's awesome.
No, you got it.
Real quick.
Our producer Eric's about to speak. He never speaks. Go ahead. Break it.
Because you know, I'm such a old school basketball fan as well.
Of course.
And usually, I want to jump in and I want to be part of the conversation, but I want to hear this. RWTW Winner's Circle.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first edition of bonus content right here.
Let's do it.
Here's what you two are doing.
Let's do it.
Non-active. You're building your favorite starting fives.
Oh, shit.
From our generation. I'm a little younger than you. You're only allowed one Hall of Famer in your five. And once the guy's off the board, he's off the board.
Shit.
So you're drafting your five. They cannot be playing.
They can't be playing.
Can't
now.
Be playing.
Now, let me ask you this. When you say your favorite five, are we
your
talking...
Favorite, you're coaching this five. You're
but you're trying to win.
Five. Yes,
it's not just favorite.
It's
like, Mark Jackson is not on the team.
There's a difference.
But there's
no,
not
difference.
A Hall of Famer.
There's a difference between winning and your favorite five.
Yeah.
I agree. Great question.
You're only allowed one Hall of Famer, though.
Shit.
The guest has first pick.
He should. Start at the point.
Well, he can start anywhere. You're only allowed one Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, I'm going to take Mike.
Are we only going players that aren't playing right now?
Yes.
Yes.
So I just took Mike. So I can't get any more Hall of Famers.
Fuck, Ben. You're going to take Mike? Shit. Okay.
I mean, you got...
Oh, man.
Actually, you've got a couple.
You know what? I'm taking... They're not playing, though.
Yeah.
They're not playing.
They're retired.
Okay. You know what? Listen, you took Mike. Here's the thing. And Eric's going to think I'm doing this
because it's him. If you don't take who I would take, I'm going to say it.
Okay, I want you to do that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, people. Eric, our producer, is going to think I'm taking this because it's him and because it's his guy and because Eric's my guy, which he is. He's going to think I'm throwing him a little lob. You already know where I'm going. I'm going to take a very non-PR pick. I'm going to take my man Larry Legend, man. I'm going to take Bird.
Well, you said you wanted to win, right?
I'm going to take Larry Legend at the three. 6'9", no athletic ability, shoot the shit out of the ball, put him against anyone, could pass the ball, high IQ, hustle, all that. I'm taking Larry Legend first pick.
I'm not mad at you.
Who did you think I was going to take?
No, I did. I was debating between Bird, Magic, and Shaq.
I was thinking between Magic and Bird, to be honest with you.
But yeah. Shaq, you could never go wrong with Shaq.
Now, shit, so that's now my Hall of Fame. Now we gotta think a little.
You took Mike. Okay.
You know what? I'll take Mark.
He's
not in the Hall of Fame.
I love it.
You know, him and Mike had a pretty good rapport. Like, yeah.
I love it.
The guy is retired and could make the Hall, and it's still not that 5 years yet. He is eligible.
Yeah, so listen, I'm gonna go here and listen. It makes zero sense. He's not a Hall of Famer. I don't care about any of that. I'm taking a young man that played at Archbishop Molloy, weighed 100-and-nothing pounds, was a lefty. You couldn't tell me I wasn't him when I was in high school. I'm taking Chibs, Mr. Kenny Anderson at the one.
Yo, my favorite Twitter follower. Follow by a mob. Please tell me you follow him.
Who, Chibs?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This dude is amazing.
Kenny, if you happen to be listening, Kenny, what up, man?
Yeah, Kenny's the best. Kenny is my guy. That's your guy.
So I have Larry Legend at the three, and I have Kenny at the one. I'm feeling really good about my team. Yeah. You have Mike, G-O-D, and you have Mark. Shit. Okay.
Yeah, I need some size.
Talk to me. No Hall of Famers, though.
No, I know. I need just like a really good center that didn't make the Hall of Fame or just retire.
Yep.
Wait. Oh, are we saying Shaq is not 5 years yet?
That's some bullshit.
Oh,
yeah, that's not fair.
Shaq's off the board. Shaq's off the board. Shaq's off the board.
I was actually thinking there are a couple of PGs out there that
could be in that.
Yeah. But PGs are taken.
Mm-hmm. Who's this?
Kid and Glove.
Oh, Kid and Glove. All right.
Can't go wrong with either one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took your PGs already. Get creative.
Who's a center? That's not in the Hall, but from our generation, I mean.
So it can be someone that's not in the Hall yet.
Yes.
Right, Eric?
Well, you couldn't take Shaq. So where do you draw the line?
Yeah. Listen, man, we're gonna take some liberties here. We'll take some liberties.
I can be the.
This is extra bonus footage, so we're good here.
We've never done
this before.
No.
Okay.
We haven't seen a lot of each other in August.
You listen, you're like painting at the line, like yelling Omaha right now. I like it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ben.
I'm trying to think front court. Pip's in the Hall of Fame, obviously. AI's not yet, but that's a pretty small team.
You can take Chuck if you want.
That's a lot of chucking. Him and Mike. Mark's never gonna shoot, little man. Damn, I'm really. Who's a good big man? You got any hints for me, Eric?
Yes.
I'm thinking.
He played on. He's born in Brooklyn. So we had him in the studio when I was still at BR. Born in Brooklyn. Played with one of the guys you've already picked in college.
Huh.
Played in 3 NBA finals and is left-handed.
Sam Perkins?
Oh, that's not what I was going to say. Okay.
No.
You're not taking Perkins.
No. I would take, like, Rick Smits ahead of Sam Perkins, and I'm not taking Rick Smits either. You need a banger. You know who I'll take? This is not my center, but...
Did you see him just brush Sam Perkins?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player.
I'm going
to run. Give me the Rain Man, because we're thinking, like, peak, you know, I have them at their prime.
Value pick.
Yeah. I like where you're going with
this. This is not, you know, overweight Sean Kemp with the Cavs. This is...
Chelsea, who is my director of marketing and like my little sister, has made an appearance on her first podcast.
Apparently. Hello.
What's up? You need me? So you're going Rain Man.
Yeah, so I'm taking Rain Man. So I got Mike, Mark, and Rain Man so far.
All right, I'm going to go. Listen, I'm a total homer, and I don't care. I'm going Flat Top Jesus. I'm going Chris Mullin. That's my next pick.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
No!
Yes, he
what?
Is.
He's already in the Hall?
When Pat Cassidy hears that you didn't know his boy was in the Hall of Fame.
Shit.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, he's in the Hall. All right, so I have Kenny at the one.
You don't want Mullen and Burke.
Listen. Don't worry about him. I'm coaching my team. Okay. We're going to do what we're going to do. I have Larry Legend at the three. I can't pick another Hall of Famer. I have K.A. at the one. I have Larry Legend. I need a five.
Yeah, the centers are hard because if they were good, they're...
Yeah, you're either a Hall of Famer or a bum. Yeah. There's really nothing in between. Kemba a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so. That's a pretty good one.
I'm going to take the Kemba,
yeah,
man.
You got the shot block.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Kemba. I'm trying to build a winning team here. I like where I'm at right now.
Never needs the ball.
It's focused around Larry Legend so far.
As long as he can catch.
I'm taking Dikembe with my pick.
I like that pick. I'm going to go with a former teammate of Sean Kemp, I believe, on like the on the crazy dream team that had all the nut jobs, as well as a teammate of Kenny Anderson and another guy that... You know, had a bunch of years that we wouldn't want it represented, but when he was on, and Derek Coleman. So I'm going to have
DC.
I'm not going to take a true five.
DC.
I'm going to have Kemp and Derek Coleman. They were on that team in that played in Canada. They won the World Championships.
Yes.
It was Kemp, Derek Coleman. I think Dominique Wilkins might have been on it. Don Nelson was the head coach. It was like the hood dream team.
Yes. Was Steph on that team?
No, Steph was not
on
that team.
Who was on that team? Who were the guards?
Reggie Miller. Mark Price might have been on it. Mitch Richmond.
Wow, yes.
Shaq was on it. It must have been like It was like the 98 World Championships.
Yep.
Yeah, so DC was on there. Vin Baker might have been on it. So I've got a point guard, the best shooting guard of all time, and two kind of like crazy hybrid forwards, and then I'm just gonna need
DC. DC
Derek Coleman.
DC is
and these are guys. These are all guys I love too.
Co-captain of the what could have been.
Yeah.
And there's another what could have been.
DC
guy.
Was a
I'm
monster.
Giving you a great.
DC
hint
was
here.
When DC was on his game.
DC was a monster. Lefty.
Lefty.
6'10". Could handle it, could shoot
great
it, go
passer.
To the cup, could Debo you if he felt like it on that block. DC was
I'm giving you, he's the other co-captain of the what could have been team.
Talk to me.
Had a more successful career than DC, played the four, is recently retired, but will not make the Hall of Fame.
Wow, that's a big statement right there. Better than DC, but will not make the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Recently retired at the
yes.
four.
I'm not sure.
You know who he's talking about?
No, not yet.
One of his nicknames is Blunt Smoke.
I don't know who that is. Do you know who that is? Just say it. I may or may not pick him. Who? Yeah. Who you go with?
Sheed.
Sheed. I'm a Sheed fan.
Yeah, I don't think of Sheed as like a underachiever.
Should have been one of the greats of all time in his position.
I think he did his thing. I think he did what he had.
Could have been greater.
I think he wasn't an offensive player. He did what he did.
I think he could have been a greater player.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Sheed, really. I'm not mad at Derek either. Shit happens.
I'll say this.
You know?
She meant more to the culture. This is a crazy statement, but feel me. She meant just as much to the culture as he did to the game.
Yeah.
The reason why his Air Force One high tops still are relevant. Yep. The reason why people fuck with him that aren't necessarily hardcore basketball fans.
Yeah, well, they loved the attitude and the...
Ball don't lie.
Yeah.
She didn't give a fuck, man.
So
they
won a gas in Game 7 in L.A.
I'm going to go... Let me see. So...
Yeah, I mean, shit. You know, Celtics fans, that was an ugly... You know.
I love the effort. I mean, he left it all on the court. But as far as the body of work...
Not to cut you off, Eric. So you're saying they have to be retired?
Yes.
What if it's a, you know, I'm going to change the rules because I can do that because it's my show.
Okay.
What about a player and he's going to kill me if and when I bump into him because that's my guy? I'm going to pick a player that's still playing but should be retired. Because I can do that. I'm going to go with the kid, Kevin Garnett.
I think that's fair.
Right? Like, listen, he's
you have my favorite player of all time at the three, and you have my second favorite player of all time at the four.
I'm going to say this, and I hope by this point LeBron's turned off the podcast and he's not listening to it. KG's my favorite player of all time. Like, I remember what he meant, like, you know, Ready or Not, the Sports Illustrated cover. I remember, you know, Showbiz and AG, the cover with him and Steph.
Yeah.
KG is my favorite player. He just played so hard. The game meant so much to him.
Very special player.
Yes, I just think for me, once-in-a-lifetime player, and humbled and honored enough to have worked with him. And, you know, I was able to work with him on a Beats by Dre commercial. I was able to go to the U.S. Open with him for, like, Serena's last championship.
That is dope.
KG, here's what people don't understand. And we're running over on time, but there's extra footage, so it doesn't really matter, right?
This is going to be a separate piece of content. Okay, so not only is he still playing, but he's also going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer at the moment.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter.
You're doing that like that. That's fine.
Here's what you don't realize. What you see on the court, that's... I don't know what your relationship with Kevin is off the court. Like, that's Kevin. Like, we did dinner at Mr. Chow's downtown, and I thought he was going to flip a fucking table over. And I was like, yo, Kev... chill the fuck out. We're at Mr. Chow's in Tribeca.
The sesame chicken was that good?
Yeah, no. He's literally like, he's an intense dude. But a great dude. You know what? I'm breaking all the rules. I apologize in advance, Kevin. I apologize in advance. Ben, KG is my next pick at the four. So I have KG at the four. Larry Legend at the three. I have Kenny Anderson at the one. That's all I have, right? I have three picks, right?
And you're five?
And Dikembe.
And I have Dikembe. Wow. Ben, you're in trouble, man.
So
I'm putting together a winning
Ben
team.
Should be allowed now.
Ben's my brother. He could pick
to pick a Hall of Famer.
I'm not mad at
him. Close his team out.
He can pick a Hall of Famer that's still playing.
But almost done.
Yeah, talk to me.
I need a small for it.
You can't say like LJ or someone like that.
The other player that's my second favorite player.
Don't leave the witness. Don't let him do his thing. Let Ben pick his pick.
Plays the three.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Oh, wow. Never mind. I can't pick him. I already got a three.
Yeah. It is a little bit of a history.
No, don't do this. Don't do this. Ben, who's your pick, man? So, to recap, you have...
I have Mark Jackson.
You have the God, MJ.
Yeah.
You have...
Sean Kemp.
You have... Wow, Rain, man. I love
Sonic, that. Sean Kemp, and Nets, Derek Coleman.
Wow.
And I was going to take, like, a real... crazy guy at the three. Again, if you just thought of the brief moments when he was great and it would help my like New York flavor, and he was the second cover story I did, first solo cover, and a sweet dude that, you know, all jokes aside, I think of and hope that he's doing okay right now. But when you took KG, I think it just would make the game too much of a mismatch. But I was kind of on like some Lamar Odom.
L.O.
Yeah.
L.O.
Listen, we gotta pray for L.O.
Yeah, listen, you know what? I've had the pleasure of meeting L. And great dude, like a humble, good dude. And we all have our battles and we all have, you know, our challenges in life. To your point, Ben, like, I hope everything works out for him. And I mean,
this guy was faced with a lot of just everyone's overcome stuff, but he had more of
his road was crazy.
And, you know, it's no surprise that whatever, you know, you know what, as a tribute to him, and, you know, when he was on his game too, So I've got just some, you know, he could be a point forward.
I like that. I like
sick,
going, Ben.
Sick passer. He could score. You know, the prime was way too short. But again, if I get these guys, if I get Lamar, like, you know, young, motivated Lamar, you know, your team is favored. But I ended up taking basically five guys I love.
I'm not mad at it. I think LO lefty, 6'10", high basketball IQ, was supposed to be the second coming of Magic.
Yep.
Right?
Like, that our cover line for that was Slam 37. It was the new Magic before he played a game, right before his rookie year.
Very underrated rebounder.
He did Rhode Island, right?
He went to Rhode Island for 1 year.
And arguably, depending on who you ask and what night it was the second best player on both of those Laker teams with Kobe. Some nights it was Powell.
Yeah.
But many nights it was
Lamar.
Huh.
Yeah. So
he was really, really good on those teams.
LO was
really
so good. So, you know, Mike I love because he's Mike. And he's
Mike.
But you might be, you know, I like passers. Okay. I love LeBron because
two?
I didn't take my two.
No, he's got one pick left.
But he's going you, so you love Mike.
I love Mike because he was the best at what he did. And he could pass too, but what I was going to say was you might be picking up, and Kemp, I guess, the dunks, but the Derek Coleman's, the Lamar Odoms, and then the LeBron on a much greater level. But dudes that are big but still pass the ball, like, really float my boat, you know? Like, there's going to be Lamar will just drop dimes. Derek Coleman, too, you know, for a 6'10". I love that shit.
So here's where I'm going, man.
And Bird, too. Bird is a sick, sick passer. Jesus.
So here's where I'm going. I have Kenny Ennis at the one, right, who almost gave Dick Vitale a heart attack when he hit Bobby Hurley with all that shit on the break. Like, oh, my God, Don Grigani, all that shit, right? I had a G-Tech. I got Kenny Ennis at the one. I got Larry Legend, who's undebatable, a top five player in the history of the game. I have KG at the four.
Yeah, with an asterisk about the legality of the pick.
It's my show, Ben. Yeah. Don't do this.
But I hope you're going two. You better be going like for some flavor.
Yeah,
not efficiency.
I'm going somewhere with it.
Okay.
I have Dikembe at the five, defensive player. You don't got to call a play for him. Had a little bit of swag with the finger wag. At the two, neither one of you, not Ben, not Eric, our producer, knows where I'm going with this. I'm going The Rock. I'm going Mitch Richmond at the two. Not a Hall of Famer. Don't do that. No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
He might be going in. Yeah, I think he just got in.
Did he? Google that.
You're taking players that are too good.
Mitch Richmond?
So if you want some flavor and you want
to
pay homage.
Talk to me.
There's two guys that unfortunately, in the summer of 1993.
Okay.
We're both involved in tragic events and are no longer with us.
Can't take anyone post-mortem. I can't do that.
Honor them.
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay.
We're not going to do that.
Okay.
Hold up. Check the Mitch Richmond. He's Hall of Fame already?
I think he went in this year.
So you guys can't see me. I'm like two glasses in on this bullet. No juice, no nothing.
Basketball Hall of Fame.
He's in there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pop. Okay. All right, I need a two. Don't help me on this. Right. I need a two.
Draw
not in the Hall of Fame.
Reggie.
You know what? As a, and I've never
Reggie
really said
was
this.
So bad.
Listen, I'm a Cavs fan because my brother's in the NBA, and as long as he's in the NBA, I don't care if he goes and plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. I will be a Milwaukee Buck fan. I'm loyal to a fault. So I'm a Cavs fan. But with that being said, I'm a Knicks fan. I'm born and raised in the Lower East Side of New York, so I always want the Knicks to do well. I'm thinking, at the two. I can't
last
pick
summer, Mitch Richmond.
I can't. Okay, that's fair. I can't pick a Hall of Famer. I have. Let's take a step back. I have Kenny at the one, who's going to run the show and embarrass someone every third possession. I have Larry Legend at the three, who's going to give us buckets and do what he does. I have KG at the four, who's going to play all around game and get us some buckets and block shots. I have Dikembe.
This will be a dope game.
It would be, right? I wish you could play this.
Yeah. You need somebody that's going to guard Mike.
At the two, that's a great call. You know where I'm going to go? I'm going to go, and it's kind of against everything I stand for. Is Joe Dumars a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Terrific man. Choice, though.
Shit, I was going to go Joe.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I was going to go Joe.
There's only one guy with a YouTube video that blocked Michael Jordan four times in one game. His name is Reggie Lewis. I'm just saying.
I can't go Reggie Lewis, though. I can't go Reggie Lewis.
You want to talk about underrated?
Non-Hall of Fame. This is tough, actually.
You know who else was a killer at the two?
Who's that?
Percy Hawkins.
Yes, he was.
Killer
yes,
at the two.
Yes, he was.
I was thinking of someone a little older, too.
Wow, this is tough. Not a Hall of Famer and retired.
Andrew Tony.
I'm going to go... This is going to be crazy. And, you know, he's not a popular pick. And he didn't get a lot of buckets and whatever.
Before you make it, what did you play? Weren't you a two?
I was a two in a point guard spot. I shot the shit out the ball, but I'm 5'10 on a good day. So.
But who were the guys that there was no one that, like, who was like the shooter that you.
There really wasn't. I'm going to fuck you up at where I'm going right now. Neither one of you are going to see this going. I'm going to go Eddie Jones with the two.
All right.
Defensive player.
That's a great pick.
Player, a big wing.
Played the three.
Played his role, good in the open court.
And at the end of the day, you need somebody to guard.
And let's be clear, no one can guard Mike.
Yeah.
But he's at least going to make him work a little bit. So my five looks like, before you pick your last pick.
No, I'm
complete
done.
Already. So my five is Kenny Anderson at the one, Eddie Jones at the two, Larry Legend at the three, KG at the four, and Dikembe. So Larry's going to have to carry the scoring load. We're going to be excited to watch, though, man.
This game
Ben,
will be
what's
awesome.
Your five, Ben?
I think they're like a slight favorite, but not huge, because I got Mike. I got Mark Jackson.
Love him.
Think like all-star Mark Jackson.
He's going to run the show.
Drop dimes, you know. Mike is Mike.
There's nothing to discuss. It's Mike.
And then all of my forwards are kind of hybrids, but I'm thinking kind of Lamar at the three.
Hello, wow.
Great
pick.
Sean Kemp as like the banger to rebound and stuff, and Derek Coleman to facilitate also.
And like the banger, but Sean Kemp will shit on you.
Yes.
Like if and it's, you know what?
And it's a great game.
Yeah, you know what's scary?
The front line's just so different.
You know what's scary? Mark and Sean Kemp. You know what that fast break looks like?
Yeah. That's
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
You got Kemp and Coleman meeting Mutombo and Garnett.
Listen, I'm going to say this. Listen, I don't play a lot of like NBA, 2K, and all that stuff. You're at Slam. We might have to make this happen, man. We might have to make like a 2K game or whatever the case may be. Whatever.
I know. But I need to hire a proxy because I can't play those games for shit. But I'll send one of the young guys or I'll coach them. Like, I want to watch my guys. Yeah, I want to create the players.
Simulated seven times. Whoever wins four.
That's the way to do it.
It's funny. Literally, I went to father-son basketball camp.
I saw that.
Here we go.
This isn't about me. I got a lot of buckets and was MVP of the dad's first dad's game. Neither here nor there. The point of the story is, you know, I went to Hoop Group to Pocono Invitational as a kid when I was 13. And it was full circle to take my 10-year-old son, Jordan, to camp. The highlight of camp for me, aside from like spending quality time with my son, was taking a picture with Rob Kennedy and my son, right? And for those of you that may or may not know, Rob Kennedy is like, you know, the head dude in charge, like the founder of Hoop Group. And I remember taking a picture and I put my arm around Rob and I said, "Damn, Rob, we're getting old." And he chuckled and said, "No, PR, you're getting old. I've been old." You know, so for me, man, listen, I live this game, man. Like, whether I work in the industry I do or not, I'm a fan of the game. I love the game. It literally, the game of basketball is the reason why I can put food on the table for my family and pay the bills. I'm sure you could tell a similar story in terms of like, you know, we're literally examples of, you don't got to be able to hit the three or be able to dunk a basketball block shots to be able
to live
in the industry of basketball. And if there's any takeaway, it's find your passion. If it's sport, find what you're really good at. For you, it was English. For me, it was marketing. And you can make a living out of it and stay close and relevant to the game. Ben, my brother, I want to thank you for coming by. I know you're super busy. I know you're running Slam Dome and kicks and all the stuff you have going on. Any closing words, whether it be something you're excited about or kids that are listening that want to be in the industry or not sure what they want to do, but know they love the game of basketball. Any closing words on your part?
I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well. I think we have a good, you know, you and I see things a lot of the same ways. So it's really that, like, if basketball is your passion and you're not going to make it as a player, don't let that stop you. You could be an agent. You could be a trainer. You could be, you know, work at the arena, work with the players, be a writer, be a marketer, you know, like, and just work your ass off. You know, you see a lot. We see, it's very easy now to see the fruits of the labor. You see the Instagram posts, you see the celebration. No one got there easily. LeBron James worked his ass off. Paul Rivera worked his ass off. Honestly, I worked my ass off. And, you know, so did John Wall. And whoever your hero is that you're, like, gawking at their pictures or the life they're leading, that shit did not happen by accident. Don't get it twisted.
I love it. Ben, listen, I'm putting it out there. You have an open invite to come out. You're part of the fam, part of the crew, RWTW, the podcast. Next issue you have out that you're really excited about, you know, next campaign you have out, please come out, whether it's 10 minutes or short. You just want to kind of talk about what you're doing. You aren't just relevant in the game. You're kind of really dictating what's going on in the game. So please, open invite to come back out and kind of spread that gospel.
Thank you, sir. Keep up the great work.
My brother, thanks for coming by. Good people, RWTW, the podcast. My man, Ben Osborne, editor-in-chief of what I like to call the Bible of the game, Slam Magazine. You know how to follow me. You know the channels. Ben already told you where you can follow him in Slam. Thanks for checking in. Winner Circle Media. We're out. Peace.